Before I get into anything else, I'd like to acknowledge International Women's Day today. Covenant Church would not be who we are were it not for the irreplaceable contribution of many women, past and present. I pray that today you are encouraged. I pray that you are reminded that you are beloved daughters of God. I pray that you know how thankful we are for how you have shaped us. I honor and celebrate how you are shaping us today, and I look forward with excitement to watching the next generation of women thriving in whatever God has in store for them. Now, on to our regularly scheduled podcast. Yesterday, I watched as 220 characters posted on social media triggered chaos for thousands of people. In looking at the invasion of Ukraine, there have been videos that have gone viral as people have shared them, and then later it's been demonstrated that they were not of the invasion of Ukraine at all. In a world where not only is it easy to share, speak, and react, it is expected that we will do so quickly, the wisdom in waiting may become increasingly apparent. Welcome to Covenant Weekly Podcast Episode 9, Wait. The first vivid memory I have of reacting too quickly was when I was a young teen. My cousin, who is a phenomenal guitar player, was going to do an impression of a singer I liked, and before he even started, I reacted. In my immaturity, I equated an impression with mocking, and in this small family gathering, I got angry at those who suggested that this should happen and defended the singer in question. When my cousin and others insisted that they liked him too, it wasn't mocking, I got up and stomped out of the room. Youthful angst, an immature perspective, and hasty talk caused tension in my family at that moment, and I ended up looking the fool. I wish I could say this was the only time that it's happened for me, but there have been many times in my life where I wish, looking back, that I'd heeded the wisdom of James 1:19, where the author advises, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." We live in a reactionary world. Supposed news networks are dominated by talking heads providing their reaction to events in real time. Those reactions are shared on social media, where the reactions of millions of others are expected immediately. Videos are liked and shared around the globe within a very short time of the original event. Sometimes, such as in the evaluation of a sports game, this reaction culture has little impact on the world. Often, however, the reaction and responses of people help shape the narrative and has deep and lasting ramifications. And reactions to things aren't only permitted in our world, they're increasingly expected. People with large social media followings are called on by their followers to react to things quickly, and if they don't do it quickly, they face criticism from the masses who react to their silence. That reaction to the silence can have significant and lasting consequences to the individual in reputation and in financial opportunities, simply because they didn't react in the first place. In the intro, I mentioned a 220-character post that triggered online chaos yesterday. This wasn't a global event, it was a fairly local one. The chaos, however, was and is very real. In a volatile and emotional situation, someone significant posted something that included strong language and shared a strong reaction. However, they included no new information regarding the situation, and as a result, it served to cloud the matter even more for most who read it. What was more interesting for me than that initial post was watching the reactions to that primary reaction. One person kindly suggested that the original poster should have waited until more information had been shared publicly before they shared their reaction. A response to that suggestion immediately talked about needing to get ahead of the spin machine. Others questioned the timing of the post, and they were criticized for making the whole situation about them. Many others, several of whom are also public figures, reacted by affirming the reaction of the initial post and celebrating the one who posted it for their virtue in doing so. they did so despite having no more information about the situation than anyone else. My point is simply this. One person felt they needed to react quickly and publicly in light of a situation where little to no information was public. Within 24 hours, hundreds of people with no information reacted to that post through likes, through retweets, or through comments. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of others were impacted and reacted in some way, even if it wasn't public. It was a microcosm of our reaction culture. A quick word rooted in one perspective about a complex situation sent out as a reaction launched a myriad of other reactions to which others then reacted. At the end of the day, the visible effects of it all were that the timeline of events that were going to unfold was changed just slightly. The confusion triggered strong and deep wounds in already hurting people, and divisions were exacerbated. It's easy to point to one situation as an example, but I don't mean to pick on this situation alone. It's merely an example of a common theme in our world. And I understand why reacting has become such a valued thing. You know, one reason is our cultural value of being our own person. We're regularly told in various ways and places to do what makes you happy, to be yourself. Sharing our reactions to things is a way that we express ourselves and to do what makes us happy. Let's be honest, it feels so good at the moment when we're hit with an emotion because of a circumstance or because of something else someone said. It feels so good just to react and let that emotion come out. Another reason reacting is valued is that our reactions, or lack thereof, are interpreted as our conviction on what is important in the world. Our reactions become a measure of our sense of justice and righteousness. If someone says something that could be heard as harmful to someone or a group of people and we don't react, well, people might think I agree with harming that person or group. It reflects on my view of justice. Conversely, if someone says something that affirms something I disagree with and I don't react, people might think I affirm that thing too. It reflects on my personal righteousness. And so I need to respond or react because of this value in how people are interpreting things. And due to this ongoing chain of reactions, if someone doesn't react, people react to the fact that they don't react and things spread. If someone does react, people react to that and things spread. The more public the person's life, the more this proves to be true. Sadly, the Christian world is just as active in this negative cycle. And in the Christian world, the justice piece helps fuel many reactions. Many of us feel that we need to respond when justice or righteousness is at stake because God is deeply concerned with justice. This has led many a public figure in the Christian subculture to speak out on issues that they really don't have a lot of information about. They react based on limited information, or they may even misrepresent someone on the other side of an issue in order to bolster their own view. All of this seemingly gets done for the purpose of getting applause from their audience. Perhaps it is important for those of us in Christian circles to not only heed the words of James 1:19, but also listen to the rest of the sentence that's found in James 1:20. Here are both verses together. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. James suggests that our quick emotional response, that reaction, even when prompted by a positive desire for righteousness or justice, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. As I consider this, the primary thing that I can think of is that the justice and righteousness of God, it's always relational. And a quick response, shaped primarily out of emotion, rarely works in favor of relationship. An example of all this is the reactions and reactions to reactions that have unfolded over recent months and years, really, in Canada. specifically in the last couple of months, groups of people who were emotionally charged and without all the information reacted negatively to decisions made by the government. In reaction, government officials, including those in the highest provincial and federal offices, reacted by saying some demeaning and hurtful things. People then reacted to their reactions with more personal attacks on elected officials. The whole thing spiraled out of control. More than any specific issue, it seems that this situation was caused by this chain of reactions perpetuated over the last couple of years. Heeding accurate information, seeking to listen well to others, and pursuing measured and wise responses have not seemed to be consistently at the forefront of the agenda for many key leaders and communicators during this time. And sadly, many of us in our world have followed their lead. The point of this reflection isn't that we shouldn't speak, and it isn't that we should ignore emotions when we do. It's that we should take our time, consider things in the context of a relationship. After all, listening requires relational connection. We should listen to information and consider as much information as we can, and even consider our emotions. From this relational, holistic, and community perspective, we will be better equipped to speak in a way that produces the righteousness that God desires. To help guide in this, I've thought of a few questions we could consider before speaking on things. These questions could be used to check ourselves before we speak, whether we're about to post or repost something on social media, whether we're about to make a phone call to a friend to tell them something, or whether we're about to relay a story to a family member. Here's a few questions that might be helpful. Question one, do I have all the information that's available? If not, well. Question number two, have I listened in relationship to others in order to discern nuances or sides to this that I may not be aware of? Question three, am I about to speak at this moment because I will feel better if I do so? You know, it may be that you do need to get something off your chest for your own good. There's actually nothing wrong with that, but if that's the case, find a therapist or a very mature and trustworthy person who will be able to identify that this is the case and help you process it. There are healthy ways to speak about it if it's for the purpose of feeling better. Question four, am I about to speak at this moment because I will look better if I do so? You know, it's easy to be led by the expectations of others, real or imagined. This motivation will rarely produce truly long-term healthy results in our lives. You know, if I don't have all the information, I should probably wait. If I haven't listened in relationship to others to discern nuances or sides to this that I may not be aware of, it's likely better to wait. If I'm about to speak because it will feel better for me to do so, waiting would probably be in order, or finding a therapist or a mature friend. If I'm about to speak because I think I'll look better if I do so, it's likely healthier if I wait. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes is true. There is a time to be quiet and a time to speak. We should not be afraid to speak when it is time, but in a world of division that thrives on our tendency to react and react to those reactions and react again to those reactions, it seems we would be served well, and our pursuit of the righteousness and justice of God would be served well if we could learn to wait. Before you go, I've got a few reminders, notes, and some information that I think you will want to hear. First, I'll just remind you, you can keep up to date on the goings-on at Covenant through our website, www.covenantchurch.ca. Next, I'd like to share three highlights from our annual meeting for those who couldn't be there. First, there was an error in our general fund statements that were published. Under expenses line 71000, it said there was an expense of $13,125. It should have been a negative expense of $17,500. That correction actually moves our bottom line from almost a $20,000 deficit to a little over a $10,000 surplus for 2021. So that was an exciting thing to share. Secondly, we did pass a budget that has a potential $16,000 deficit. This was not an easy decision, and it happened despite decreasing our budgeted expenses for 2022. The reason for this deficit budget is that based on the past 2 years of giving, we wanted to be honest about our anticipated lower income for 2022. During the meeting, a member spoke up to share their concern about a deficit budget, and rightfully so. And they really challenged us as a congregation to work together to make sure that the deficit doesn't happen. Thirdly, we updated our congregation about the possibility of sponsoring two Syrian refugees sometime this year. Most of you know that 6 years ago, we sponsored a family of Syrian refugees to move to Penetang. Iman, the mom of the family we sponsored, has family living as refugees in Lebanon. Over 3 years ago, Covenant applied to sponsor some of them to join Iman and her family here in Penetang. At this point, it seems as though Iman's mother and sister are in the final stages of being approved to come to Canada. It's not done yet, but we are hopeful that we will be able to start a fundraising campaign to bring them here safely at some point in 2022. Even as we do this, we're aware of what seems to be the next great refugee crisis developing in Ukraine. May we be faithful in welcoming the stranger to find safety and care among us. Speaking of Ukraine, the next information you'll want to know is that we are going to have a special time of prayer following our Sunday morning service. We're going to give 5 to 10 minutes for people to head out, people who are not going to stick around, but then we're going to have a prayer for peace that will start around 11:45 a.m. Those who are at the service are welcome to stay. Others are welcome to join us at that time. We're just going to take some time to pray together for peace. Maybe a song or two. There might be some scripture read, but it's really about praying together for peace. You are all invited to join us. We're not going to be streaming this online, but if you can't be there in person, please feel free to participate by taking some intentional time at home to pray for peace in our world. Now, I have one final note that you'll want to be aware of. At some point in the past few days, we had some graffiti spray painted on the back of our church building. It's not covenant-specific graffiti. You know, one part of the art says God is dead, and the word God has a circle and a line through it. That is something that's troubling for us to have on our building, but I'll expose you to my weird way of viewing the world and processing things by telling you that I almost laughed at this portion. Because if the word God is crossed out and then it says is dead, it seems like maybe the artist is claiming that the idea of there not being a God is dead. I know that's not what they meant. That's just kind of one of the funny ways my mind works. My hope is that we will respond to claims that God is dead by living lives that demonstrate that the loving God is very much alive in us and among us. There's one other element of graffiti that's much more concerning to me, and that it is a symbol of hate and dehumanization that represents the exact opposite of the heart of Christ. It's a symbol associated with violence and death and should have no part in our world. We've reported the graffiti to the police and have heard nothing from them in regards to anything else we can or should do. But as we look ahead, we want to clean it up as soon as possible. If you or someone you know is an expert at removing graffiti, please feel free to let me know by calling the church or emailing me at john@covenantchurch.ca. Finally, I hope and pray that as much as we are bothered by the defacement of our building and the content of the graffiti, that we will remain committed to demonstrating that what the graffiti represents is not true among us. I pray that we will pray for the person or people who have such turmoil in them that this is how they feel they need to express themselves. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. As you go this week, may you go prepared to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. As you go, may you go filled with the love of Christ and compelled to share it through your lives and your love. And as you go, may the peace of God that we pray would fill our world, fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God bless. Go in peace.